Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Good afternoon, everybody. How you doing, Paul?
I'm good.
You know, we are the happiest place on earth today. I don't care about Disney. I know they're celebrating 60 years, but you know what? We're happier here today.
We are happier. We're always happier here.
You know,
we're only happy when you're here, though.
Oh, so sweet.
Well, we're pretty happy most of the time.
The check clear?
Yeah. Yes.
The check clear.
You're good.
Okay, I'm good. Today, I've had an opportunity to, over the last year, to, you and I have talked before, you know, I get involved with a lot of nonprofits, and I've...
You do. I don't know when you work. You're just always...
You know, a lot of people ask me that question.
Including your wife.
Sometimes I ask myself that question. I had an opportunity, as an interior designer, I had an opportunity to participate in an event that was put on by the American Society of Interior Design. And it was, as many of these events are... you know, benefiting a charity of some sort.
Right.
And in this particular case, it benefited the Orange County Ronald McDonald House.
Wonderful cause.
Yeah. In all humility and in reverence, my participation in that event basically...
Pushed it over the top.
No, it didn't. But you kind of were going in the same direction, you and I. My big, huge, oversized cactus chair... That I designed pushed it over the top. Right.
Describe that thing,
How do I describe this to people that are not looking? First of all, if you really are interested,
put a picture
and completely bored this afternoon. Look for my page on Facebook, and you can see the cactus chair in all its glory.
Attach it to the show notes here.
To show notes, okay. Show notes, cactus chair. I think my favorite, even though I should be offended, but my favorite. Is when somebody described it as this, this is this big, huge, green pickle. ridged pickle.
So what was it for and what did you submit?
Okay, so what we did is...
what was it for first?
The chair was to be auctioned off,
right,
along with a bunch of other chairs. And we had live auction, great auctioneer Zach Krohn, and we had some silent auction. But it was at the Orange County Museum of Art in Newport Beach.
People donated unique chairs for a unique cause.
Well, designers basically participated by either fashioning, upholstering a chair, or you know, augmenting an existing chair with some attachments. Somebody did a garden thing on a green rocking chair with some butterflies and. You know, silk flowers
and stuff. But you weren't happy to do that. You had to go all out and build your own chair.
It also, of course, required a large truck because it was too big for me to transport.
And it looks like a saguaro cactus.
Correct.
With the two little arms sticking out. And I don't know how you figured out the needles so they don't actually hurt.
This is boring for our guests here, I know, because they actually had a chance to sit on the chair. Did any of you guys sit on the chair? You sat on the cactus chair.
Did it hurt to sit on the chair?
No.
I see you turned around. We don't want you to turn around.
No. Okay. So very quickly, the background. The chair was a design that I had done when I was in design school in 1994.
Oh.
In Newport Beach, California.
Okay.
I did a model of this cactus chair. And the antithesis of the thought behind it was, I get to sit on this?
Yeah, right. It's not what I would picture a chair. If you think of a cool thing to be a chair... I wouldn't think of a cactus.
Oh, come on. You know, you took those hikes, you know, up in the desert, and you looked at those chairs and go, man, I'm tired. I wish I could sit on that thing, but I can't.
Well, so, I was high on mushrooms at the time, so I probably tried it.
So you probably floated over that chair. On that note, my thorns were a lot softer.
Oh, okay.
So in 94, I did this thing. It was a model. I did a model, styrofoam model, wrapped it in green fabric, put these little AstroTurf needles on it, and I was like, you know, here's the chair.
Right.
That model sat on every desk I worked at. It went with me from California to Atlanta, back to California, and ended up in a dusty corner in my parents' house, which I went and dug up because when this opportunity came up, I'm going, everybody's talking about, well, we're going to do this Chippendale chair, and we're going to do this armchair, we're going to do this Art Deco chair. And I'm like,
no, I got it.
I think it's time for the cactus chair to come alive. It was like a Frankenstein's laboratory, right? Cactuses, the monster must be born.
Yeah, cactuses grow very slowly.
Well, it took since 94, right? So it was like 20 plus years. That's a real slow growing cactus chair. But boy, did it come out on steroids in the end.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I ended up making a chair, building a chair from scratch. For me, it was kind of a full circle, closing the circle. But the cool thing about the event was that we auctioned off these furniture pieces to people who donated to a very, very noble nonprofit and service providing entity in Orange County, which is part of a national network, I think.
Global.
Right? Global network.
Yeah.
Right.
How much did it bring? That's what everybody wants to know.
Oh, my cactus chair?
Yeah.
That I paired?
painstakingly
okay,
all right. Created.
Okay, so before I forget, because I tend to forget, it's an aging show, right?
Yes.
Okay, is the needles were actually executed from pipe cleaners.
Oh.
I took two pipe cleaners and I bend them in the middle and twisted them into a little loop and then put a fabric pin or upholstery pin in them, and basically all the needles were made out of white pipe cleaners against that grain fabric. No, didn't hurt.
And for this, somebody paid?
My wife paid.
Ah! Wow.
Hi, honey. $600.
Wow. She couldn't let it go.
Well, here's the thing. I had paired it. I spent a lot of effort. I went to these restaurants, Alamendes down in San Clemente, that has their own organic tequila. I went to these guys called Spirit Tequila that had Libre tequila, flavored tequila.
Sure.
So we had bottles or six bottles of tequila in this thing, along with the chair.
So she was drunk. She just wanted the tequila.
Well, I don't know what the deal is because, you know, I'm drinking the tequila, right? And if anybody's interested in a big cactus chair that looks kind of like a pickle and the pictures are available online, let me know. We have it on a very good offering and price
That's right. IKEA.
So I have no place in my place to put the cactus chair.
Now that you've sobered up, you're willing to sell it for a reasonable price.
But it was a good event, and it was a great event. We had, like I said, a lot of people show up, sold tickets through American Society of Interior Design. I think we'll probably do it was called Chairs for Charity. I know there's a lot of other places around the country that do a Chairs for Charity kind of concept. And through that effort, I met a couple of people that we have in the studio today.
Okay.
And let me introduce them. Noelle Bracelis and Susan Kinney. And Noelle is the executive director, and Susan is the development director for the Orange County Ronald McDonald House.
Wonderful.
So we have since become very good friends. And I
you gave him a chair and then you bought it back. That's a pretty good deal.
I do have to add, Paul, that there was activity on those biddings.
Okay.
So he's very humble about saying, oh, yeah, my wife ended up getting it. It's not like anybody bidded, but there was a bidding war up to that.
See?
Yeah, I had plants in the audience.
And then we did talk about at least debuting, showcasing it at the Ronald McDonald House. And I think the look of it, the children, of, you know, I think they'll find it a blast to hang out.
I shared this after the event, and to me this was really, since we're on it, the highlight. Okay, is I walked in there, and you know you're in a frenzy, and you know me, I'm showing up with a lot of time in advance, right? So,
yeah.
So I walked in there, you know, with a lot of frenzy, with more than 30 seconds, by the way, but it's still not enough time to do stuff, and you know, setting up and pinning those needles to the chair and all this stuff, and didn't really pay attention to what was going on around me, and then when I settled down and had a martini glass in my hand, this kid walks up to me, and he's kind of like, I catch him kind of just sitting, standing there staring at the chair, and he's got crutches, and he's just kind of hanging out, and I don't know, Noelle, why it didn't dawn on me that is actually the family that's coming in to basically share their experience with the Ronald McDonald House, you know, our heart tug kind of, okay, but he's standing there looking at it, and I looked at him, and he's kind of looking at me, and he's almost like asking for permission. I go, yeah, go ahead, you should go sit in it, and he went and sat in it, and this kid had the biggest smile on his face, like he's actually sitting on a cactus, right?
Cool.
And mom comes around, and they're taking pictures, and I got to find those pictures, because I had a picture of that to me, honestly, was the highlight. And to Noelle's point, I think it is. The idea is not that this is a piece of furniture that nobody sits on, that, you know, which is, by the way, it is like a throne, so it is very kingly as far as the cactus goes, right? But to bring it into an environment where you have somebody that actually, you know, crawl on this thing, I don't care, crawl on it, jump on it, whatever, you know, it's part of the fun. Right. So I will take you up on that. You just let me know when you want to put it in there.
All right, deal.
So tell us all about, now that we've rambled on aimlessly here, tell us all about
which we tend to do.
Tell us about the Ronald McDonald House. When did it start? How many are there? All that.
Okay, so the Orange
Give
County...
Give us the whole history of Ronald McDonald, because they're all over the place.
The first Ronald McDonald House was built in 1974, mm-hmm. and... The inspiration, the family that inspired the first one is Fred and Fran Hill. And in fact, Fred has agreed to join us shortly via the phone call.
Oh, cool.
To share his experience. But he played for Philadelphia Eagles, and his daughter Kim was diagnosed with leukemia at the age 3. Mm-hmm. And again, Fred would be the one to give you more of the details. But really, they journeyed through what many of our families journey through, right? They have to go to the hospital. She's in for weeks and weeks, months of treatment.
Yes.
And they're commuting back and forth. They have other children that they have to take care of, you know, challenged with a place to sleep, where to eat.
And you don't want to leave.
And you don't want to leave.
Yeah.
And really from that, a partnership developed with Ronald McDonald Restaurants, Philadelphia Children's Hospital, and the NFL. Kim passed away in 2011, and in one of her speeches, she indicated that she didn't like being sick, but she wouldn't have taken it back, knowing the impact that her life has made, because now there's over 350 worldwide.
Wow.
And really, in a few weeks, there's an international conference where we have over 650 participants from throughout the world coming together and basically sharing best practices to just say, we have Ronald McDonald Houses, here's our challenges, and learning from each other, sharing ideas. And again, it happens every 2 years. And so,
how do these houses work? I assume they're free and people can somehow get on a waiting list, and somehow they have to qualify, and then they can come, the family can stay at this house, which is located near a hospital somewhere.
Yeah, very briefly, there the two main criteria is the diagnosis. So the children that stay at the house are seriously ill, so they're not coming to the hospital just so they can get a physical and play soccer this fall.
Yeah, right.
It's some life-threatening diagnoses. And then the distance. So the majority of our families live quite a ways from the hospital. So the idea is that we provide families a place to stay while their child's getting medical treatment. Orange County, we have 20 guest rooms, and families are asked to contribute $10 a night. But no families turned away for inability to pay.
Right.
And we have about half of our families that are in our financial position to make some contribution. You could imagine, for $10, people will say, well, who can't afford $10? It's, well, they're faced with insurance. Mm-hmm. They're faced with medication.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And
bankrupt, many of these families, in fact.
We had family share. Show me the medication ran about $3,000 to $5,000 a month that they've drained all their retirement, their savings. Him and his wife will not stop working because they could never be in a position to give medication.
And what else could you do as a parent? You know, you're just in that position. You're going to give everything you got and then some here. So in Orange County here, is there a house here? I assume there is.
It's in the city of Orange, and it's about a block and a half away from Children's Hospital of Orange County.
Great.
And any hospital in Orange County can make a referral. So although we get the great majority come from Chalk Children's, we have it. I mean, you name the hospital, Kaiser, Western Med, St. Joe's, UCI, Fountain Valley.
Are the majority of these houses, and I'll shut up, are the majority of them located near a children's hospital? Because
yes.
There aren't that many. We had many people in from Chalk over the last year or two on this network, and I didn't realize there's only, I want to say, two or three or four or something in the whole state here. And
in Southern Cal, there's 6 houses, and we have Camp. I'm sorry, in our Southern California chapter. San Diego is not considered in our chapter. The delineations were outside of
just children's hospitals are rarities. I think there's only 3 or 4 in the whole state, children's hospitals.
Right, and it's not necessarily just children's hospitals, really medical facilities. So we have Miller's Children in Long Beach. We have Children's Hospital in L.A., Loma Linda. Pasadena, we have Huntington Hospital, and we have one in Bakersfield. And so it doesn't have to be necessarily Children's Hospital that we would have a house next to.
To me, when I got involved, and I was very candid and honest with both of the guests here today earlier, is I said, you know, had I not been involved in that ASID, And had we not personally, my wife and I know the executive director at the Long Beach Ronald McDonald House, and we're involved before, like doing the walk, which Orange County does as well, I would have no clue. I would think, oh, yeah, there's this thing I heard of called Ronald McDonald House, and it's a charity, and it's got to do with kids, but I don't really know what this is all about. And in many cases, maybe even mistake it for some sort of arm of the actual McDonald's Corporation.
Yeah, right.
Right? So I think that is something that I hope this show and other efforts that we try to do. I was asked to be on the committee for the upcoming fashion show. That's, what's it, 26th year?
Yes. No?
Yes, that's right.
26th year.
High TN fashion show.
You're not going to make a cactus jacket or something here.
Oh, that's a good idea. Thanks, Paul.
I was thinking, you know, I've got this AstroTurf like golf beanie with the little plastic ball that's, you know, and the flag at the top, sort of like, you know, very Bill Murray.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought maybe I'd wear that,
Shack,
you know,
right.
And some white jacket or something.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's important to clear, and you guys can speak to it more than I, that this is a charitable organization that is fundraises on its own, requires, you know, asks for people's donations and support. You have a lot of volunteers that actually, how many people every day cook in that house? Or
we have food service organizations, corporations, volunteers come in every single night and cook food for our dinner. Cook dinner for our families. And then about 2 to 3 times a week we'll have people come make breakfast. And 2 to 3 times a week, we'll have people come and bake for the family.
So it's very dependent on support, community support, volunteerism, fundraising.
And this
efforts.
Is an independent charitable organization that happens to be what, sponsored by McDonald's. Is that why they get the title sponsorship here? But they don't run it per se.
The McDonald's Corporation, we call it. They're a mission partner with us. Right. We receive, you know, tremendous support, but for Orange County. We're still responsible for about 85% to fundraise to keep our doors open.
Because that would be one of the misconceptions. I would think, I'm not going to give to Ronald McDonald House because they're already funded.
Exactly my point.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought, that this was something that was, you know, philanthropical arm of the corporation.
Right.
And I thought this was very important to highlight for people. No, not necessarily going through any particular numbers or so, but you're saying you're responsible for 80%. Fundraising for the Orange County, for example.
That's correct.
What is your cost on a yearly basis? Like when you say 80%, 80% of what?
Well, our operating budget, it's a 1.5 mil.
Okay.
Wow. Just to keep that house and the staff and the food.
Keep
and everything.
The services, our doors open. Yeah, providing services. And so, you know, last year, Orange County House alone welcomed over 2,400 families.
Wow.
I mean, individuals, 779 families. And so that's just our house. And so when we talk about, when I reference, you know, Kim's impact and her legacy, if just the one house welcomed 2,400 people, and now you have 350 throughout the world.
It's amazing.
And the sizes vary, right? Our LA house is 75 guest rooms. We're on 20.
Mm-hmm.
Just her legacy lives on in what she started, really.
And I don't think people can fully appreciate it. I don't think I can fully appreciate it. I have one daughter. And yes, she's been sick and broken things, and it's horrendous. And, you know, she goes in the hospital for a couple of days or something here, but have her tonsils out or something. But I can't imagine if my child was dying and I had to stop my work, go to a long distance to get them there, drop everything, spend everything I've got. It was so touching when I heard the story years ago, and I thought, what an obvious need that nobody would think of. Where do you stay? You're already spending everything you got to keep this child alive, and now you got to go rent a hotel room for $100 a night.
Well, we talked about this earlier. I mean, I just to share personally, not going too many details, but my cousin Seth and his wife in Illinois, their daughter Samantha Sam has been fighting leukemia for almost from day one.
Yeah.
Pretty much that's their life,
right?
And we talked about earlier, and it's like the assumption is that there's a two-parent family, right? In some cases, it's not. It's a single parent who's the only breadwinner in the family. And what do you do? Like you said, Paul, what do you do when your child is sick? I mean, it's not everything else goes on hold.
Everything goes on hold. I'm just saying from little snippets of, you know, they get the mumps or measles, everything goes on hold or whatever.
Right.
I can't imagine if it was a
cancer and treatment and prognosis and
over
back
a prolonged
in
period of time. Yeah.
And to your point of everything gets put on hold, unfortunately, that can also be the siblings of the sick child. That parent wants to focus on their ill child, get them healthy.
Seen it happen.
So the great thing about the house that people maybe don't understand is that the entire the family's invited to come and stay so that they're staying together. If it's mom and dad that are there with their other children, or if it's grandma coming to be with the siblings of the sick child while mom stays bedside, The whole entire idea is to keep families together, and there's result or studies that have proven that a child will heal faster if the family's together.
Well, and I said this, you know, everybody asks, you know, when we tell people, well, here's who's going to be on the show, and they're like, I thought your show is about aging. You know, and we're like, you know, we're a moving target. You pretty much can't tell.
Pointed out,
I got asked that question. He's like, well, this is about children and stuff. And I said, yeah, but you know what? Nobody's an island in a way. This is where, to your point, you know, grandparents' life is basically impacted. You know, to have that support services for that grandparent to be able to do that while, let's say, the daughter or the son is basically working in order to maintain some sort of ability to pay the bills. How would that grandparent handle it? You know, if you didn't have a resource like this that would help them. Noel, you were telling me, you know, they're making suggested donations, maybe, or asked to make some suggested donations. Mm-hmm. Some people can't. You know, you've got a cost outlay that's about 100, just over 100, 150, maybe 125 a night.
Right.
So it costs money to provide the service, and if nothing else comes out of the show, to be honest with you, is I hope more and more people understand that it's not like somebody's writing you a big, huge check from a corporation every single year.
Well, we are incredibly fortunate to have the partnership with McDonald's.
Right.
The owner-operators are incredibly generous to us here in Orange County, but they can only do so much, you know, so about 15% of what our annual budget is brought in by McDonald's in their generosity, and then, like you said, the remainder of us, we do our own private fundraising.
Yeah, you guys work hard at doing fundraisers.
We do have a caller who came in here. I think this is the person you were referring to. Say hi and identify yourself, mystery caller here.
yeah, this is Fred Hill. I know Noel there.
Hi, Fred. How are you?
I'm doing good.
So that's Rod, who's the host of the show, and our other guest.
Hi, Mr. Hill. It's Susan Kenny.
Hi, Susan.
She's with the Ronald McDonald House.
Thank you for calling in, Mr. Hill.
We were telling your whole story, and we were deeply moved by your daughter. And Noel can restate this again, how you know, she felt privileged to be part of this growth of this thing, I guess, or even though...
What a legacy.
Yeah, honestly. What a legacy, yeah. I don't know how to say it simply. It's so difficult to talk about here.
I just wanted to share that Fred and Fran, when I referenced the International Conference, they are celebrity status, not in the superficial way of, oh, God, but everybody understands that they made a choice... they made such an impact. They did something about their life circumstances that's impacted really the world.
Right.
And the participants, those conference attendees are so humbled and honored to meet, you know, Fred and Fran, who, again...
Talk about that a little bit, if you will, Fred, because we've had other guests on who've had tragedies in their life and tried to transition that, make some sense out of it and put some purpose behind it here. What's kept you involved in this organization?
Yeah, my daughter was like three, and I was playing with the Philadelphia Eagles. I went to USC and got drafted by the Eagles, and we actually lived back there for about 9 years. And at 3 years old, she was diagnosed with leukemia, and it looked like there wasn't a chance that she would live past 6 months.
Wow.
But we had an unbelievable owner named Leonard Toast of the Eagles, and a really good general manager by the name of Jim Murray. And we had a small fundraiser that my wife organized, and the entire team came. And we were, like, really surprised. And Leonard Toast came, and he was willing to give us everything to raise money for leukemia.
Wow.
And so that's how the fundraiser started. And out of that fundraiser came the first Ronald McDonald House.
That's what he was saying. And from that, now it's sprouted up all over the place. Are these all over the world or just in the United States here?
Right now, the number changes so quickly, you really don't know. But the last count that I got was probably about 350 Ronald Houses in 60 countries.
Wow.
And every time you turn around, there's more of them. I know Germany has 21 now, and the Netherlands have 15, but it's not so much the numbers.
Yeah.
These houses are really, really needed, and I don't know how the parents would make it otherwise.
That's what I say. Talk about the need for this, because what struck me years ago when I heard about this, I thought, what an obvious need, but something that I would never think of. That, yes, we're all touched by the diseases and the problems that the parents go through, right, and the financial burden, but the idea of giving them a place nearby to stay comfortably, easily, is just so wonderful and touching. But I don't know that anybody would even think of that, because you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Unless you went through that process, you wouldn't realize how important that is.
Yeah, the problem that you have, and we didn't think of the idea, actually Dr. Audrey Evans did, but basically when Kim was sick, a lot of leukemia patients, cancer patients, it's outpatient. Mm-hmm, so right. We're talking 3.5 years of chemotherapy. Wow. Every single day, you know, going to the hospital, and our hospital is about 45 minutes away, but some people travel hundreds of miles.
Yeah.
And I know that we just got back from Rome, actually. There's two houses in Rome. And one of the girls there have been there for 2 years. You can imagine the parents. What are they going to do? Because in Philadelphia, there are only big hotels,
right,
$100 a night. And that was back in the 70s. There's such a need for it. And what's amazing is, you know, Kim was sick, and the team rallied behind her, and these houses started going. And I actually talked about Ronald Houses for many, many years, and Kim was doing fine for 20 years, and then all of a sudden, they found out from the chemotherapy they gave to her at 3 years old,
mm-hmm.
20 years later, she came down with brain tumors.
Kim
used to go with me, and she loved it. I remember one time we went to open the Fresno house. She cut the ribbon for the LA house, too, in 1980, but we went to Fresno. And they interviewed her, and she said, you know, I didn't like being sick, but in a way, I'm kind of glad I got sick, because through all my suffering, a great thing has come from it.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
So here, all of a sudden, now she comes down with a brain tumor the size of a softball, and she says, do you think we could stay at the Orange County Ronald McDonald House? So here, 20 years later, you talked about him for 20 years, and all of a sudden now, you know, the family said, where should you meet you? It was a 10-hour operation at Children's Hospital there, and we'll meet you at the Ronald House. Kim actually slept there the night before she had to report in for surgery, and they have a little room there that he could often pray, and all the food is there. So these people don't have any worries, mm-hmm. except for their child. And you know what? A lot of parents, and we've seen this over the years, when they have a sick one, a lot of parents separate because they just can't take it. So this kind of keeps the whole family together. If they have siblings, they can stay there. And it doesn't seem like the sterile hospital, you know? And
maybe I shouldn't say this, but I actually had a cousin of mine, was about my age, and their child had juvenile diabetes really bad. And long-term constant treatment. And that led to such tension between the two of them that they broke up over it.
Right.
And the other children kind of felt lost in the shuffle because mom was 100% focused, understandably, trying to...
I think to expect that strain and stress wouldn't really, you know, fray on a family, mm-hmm. is unrealistic. I mean, I think, you know, whether you're fortunate enough to have a support system or not, having a haven, a sanctuary, a place that you could actually just, Mr. Hill, like you said, you know, have the parents focus as purely on the child and not have to worry about all this other stuff.
Arguing and the fighting and the stress and the strain. So, you know, this kind of speaks to the whole purpose of the show, which is as we get older, there are things that come up that we're just not prepared for. We don't think about retiring. We don't think about getting older. You certainly never think about a child getting sick and dying. And you certainly don't think about what happens with your life. What things do you suddenly need at that point in terms of support and help and financial? And
well, I shared with Noel, again, because to your point, Paul, about the aging component of the show is, you know, there's a lot of parallels.
Oh.
That are run between, like, what seniors deal with, mm-hmm. and in terms of, you know, what children, and in some cases, their recovery, like Mr. Hill said, you know, a lot of the stuff is outpatient.
Right.
So the duration of stay and monitoring and oversight or what have you gets shorter and shorter every year. So now you're basically in and out like an automated process, but then what happens to your very much real and needed recovery support?
The crisis people aren't ready for, yeah.
Yeah, and the interesting point is, you know, it has McDonald's name on it, the Ronald McDonald House. And a lot of people think, well, McDonald's takes care of this.
I did. I confess I thought a charity I would give to because I thought Ronald McDonald's picking up the foot in the bill here.
You know what? They help so much, especially the owner-operators in Southern California, because mm-hmm. we have six houses here and the camp, Ronald McDonald for Good Times. And probably about 15% is raised by, you know, by McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. That's what Noel was saying.
85%, it's like running a hotel, but your customers aren't paying.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
So to give you an idea, I just got back from Stanford. Stanford House is going to be the biggest in the world. What they did, they doubled the size of their pediatric hospital. And mm-hmm. so their McDonald's is going to go from, their Ronald House is going to go from 40 bedrooms to 125 bedrooms.
Wow.
And the cost of that is $40 million to build it and $5 million a year to run it.
Unbelievable.
So what happens is we have all these McDonald's operators in Southern California have stepped up. And, you know, we have the Walk for Kids. Mm-hmm. We have the fashion show. We have the high tea. We have golf tournaments. And then McDonald's helps with, they have the shoes that they sell during the walk, you know, at each store. If you, spend a dollar more, you can get a shoe, and right. It goes towards the Ronald House. And then they also have the collection boxes
at the restaurants,
McDonald's.
Yeah.
McDonald's. And so it's just constant fundraising. But these houses are needed so badly. And that's why we got to get the word out and whatever they can do to help out.
So let me ask you a question. We have the marketing person here. How do you rise above the noise? How do you keep people interested and involved? I understand there are families that must, like we're talking to this gentleman here, Fred Hill, they're touched by this in a personal way. So obviously they feel a connection to it and will probably stay involved financially or otherwise for the rest of their life. However, you're talking to me or other people out there that just sort of vaguely know these things exist, and there are literally 3,000 charities here just in Orange County
right.
alone. How do you cut through that to get your message through to people, and how do you meet those goals in a time when people are giving less anyway because times are tougher?
Yeah. One of the best ways, and Noel knows, whenever we have a golf tournament or any function, we have a person that is actually staying in the house with their kids, mm-hmm. get up and speak about what this house has done for them.
Yeah, makes it real.
And it's unbelievable, you know. And we've been able to recruit some really good people. For example, Tempur-Pedic that makes the beds, mm-hmm. they provide all the beds now. You got Lazy Boy Furniture, they provide all the furniture now at no charge.
Oh,
you have all kinds of companies that really stepped up. And my goal, if you guys want to know what my goal
Please.
Is, I'm a USC Trojan.
And we won't hold that against you.
I went to the Columbus House, and I was in shock. I went to a big fundraiser there, and they had four golf tournaments going on in four different golf courses. And their head football coach, his wife, their kids, the head basketball coach, his wife and kids, all the assistant coaches, all volunteer and help out with that house.
Wow.
And then I was really shocked when I went to the house, because that house is 122 bedrooms in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the house, and Jim Tressel was the coach a few years ago. And he also, every coach in the Ronald House has his own wall. So Jim Tressel's wall is the entire football team and the stands, and it takes up an entire wall. Then the baseball coach has his, and the basketball coach has his. I want USC to get involved. I would love at our next march for the Orange County House, which is at the Honda Center, wouldn't it be neat if the SC marching band let us off?
Be nice.
Very nice.
All right,
the football players behind them.
We're starting it right here. And when is this walk coming up?
April 3rd.
Well, Noel would probably know when the next one is.
April 3rd
in at the Honda Center.
And guess who we had as our ambassador this last year?
I don't know.
Mike Socha. Mike Socha started it off. Talked to everybody. Had a game that day also.
Yeah.
So,
well, now you got Rod Gontos here, too.
Yeah. So. actually, I was in Long Beach that day walking. Yeah. Because it's you guys don't stagger them. They're all on the same day, right?
They're on the same day. Next year may be a little different because we got the Grand Prix going, and there might be conflict on that. But, hey, Fred, really to your vision and your hopes that, yes, SC Trojan Band there, if it happens in Southern Cal with the San Diego Chargers and Oakland Raiders, what? That would be awesome that the NFL make that connection again with the NFL and the Ronald McDonald House here.
But how do you, I'm curious to see from a marketing standpoint, how do you, you got a lot of people with their hands out here, and for all worthy causes, how do you get people to support your cause than those who are personally
I plan to ask Susan, maybe this is a good time, you know, what are the challenges from a development perspective, and then what are some of the opportunities? Because, I mean, we're all Paul and I are admitting, you know, we thought somebody, covered the whole bill.
We have been incredibly fortunate to have the support of the Angels, of the Ducks, you know, the McDonald's owner operators. They they do reach outside of just you know, their pocketbooks. They invite their vendors to participate.
They're vested in this,
absolutely. So Coca-Cola is involved. Their you know, paper products, all of that. But I think that the advantages of this house is that everybody comes from a family. Everybody understands that once they understand what we do, that helps us for sure. I'm trying not to look at you so I can keep my
You can't see our studio the way it's set up, and I'm behind everybody, so they always want to turn around and look at me. And
yes, Paul is a very attractive man sitting in the corner, but we try to avoid eye contact.
So we have, just as we'd mentioned earlier, we have volunteer groups that come into the house, and typically that's where they start their support, is that they are looking for volunteer opportunities. And we have so many, whether it's cooking dinner or if it's cleaning the house or if it's you know, washing the sheets, you know, pulling weeds, whatever the case may be. And then they are able to see what we're doing, and then they're able to then get monetarily invested.
Right. So there's other ways than just writing a check. You can actually donate. You can get involved. You can sponsor things. And if you're a corporation, maybe there's something, some need. Any needs you have? Any shout-outs you need? Gee, we wish you had somebody to do towels.
Yeah, why don't you cover some of this stuff? I know there's the high tea and fashion show that's coming up.
Yes, that is October 9th, Friday, October 9th. It's our 26th annual event. It is our fashion partner is Fashion Island. So these are retailers in the mall that are supporting us with the designs. We have a live auction, silent auction. We have an opportunity drawing, you know, lots of different ways to get involved. But it is a traditional high tea and champagne. So the ladies have been putting it on for all these years. In fact, it was started by one of our founding McDonald owner operators, the Whittacomb family. Patty is on our board, and her mother started the event. So
but Jean Whittacomb, I believe, was the first female McDonald's owner operator.
And
I thought I read that.
Yeah, really strong advocate, and it demonstrated by the whole family. But you know what, Rod, when you started the show saying, hey, I thought it was about age kind of thing, how does this circle back? There's really one angle I just thought about right now as Susan's talking about development, was how we propose we can engage the whole age spectrum in fundraising, in that this year we launched...
He's putting this together, right?
I am on
the fly.
I'm writing it down.
Really, we launched a birthday club this year, and we had just recently a 6 or 7 year old girl. In lieu of gifts, she asked her family and friends to please make a donation to the Orange County Ronald McDonald House.
That's fabulous.
Right? Really neat.
What a
and
cool
we,
idea.
The program is, you know, you get a cape because you become not only a hero for our staff, but a hero for other children who are using the house. But she did it one step she stepped it up a notch. She came to the house, did a tour, so she had a complete understanding. Then she presents in front of a foundation of 12 adults.
A little kid did this?
6, 7 year old. Little Sophia. I got to give a shout out to Sophia. She does a little spiel and says, if you can help me support the Orange County Ronald McDonald House, I'd appreciate it. And so for my birthday, I'm giving up gifts and stuff. $5,000 later.
I was going to say, who's going to turn that down?
She comes back and presents the check. And she mistakenly says, oh, here's a $500 check, Mom. Quickly corrects her. It's not $500.
Another zero in there.
The great thing about it was her mom actually presented the board with a wish list. You know, this is what we need. We need laundry detergent, or we need toilet paper, those things. And thought that they would all just go shopping and bring these in, and the board chair raise his hand, I'd like to give him $5,000.
Well, I think Mr. Hill said, you know, and you guys mentioned it to me before, it's about keeping families together to help them kind of be families, focused on the being of the families. There's all this distractions and, you know, demands that pull them apart. I think from that perspective, this your whole mission is really multi-generational. Plus, just from reality, I see it with my parents, okay? My dad was around as much as possible, you know, when we were growing up, but he was out busy working. And then, you know, here come my nephews, and my parents are, you know, retired. And it's my brother-in-law and sister that are sort of there, but they got other things that are in demand. You know, brother-in-law is working. So it's the grandparents that are involved. So when we talk about, you know, how does this relate to aging? Well, it impacts families on across generational lines. Mm-hmm. B, you have, you know, potentially a caregiver who's acting in the capacity of a surrogate parent that is a senior person with time on their hand. So to have this be something that is supported by that portion of the population is completely understandable.
Has anybody ever thought of expanding this for, I'm not trying to tax your organization, but, you know, having similar facilities for people who have a parent that's dying or a parent that's in trouble? Because so that's what we're experiencing as baby boomers. We're not only just taking
There's
care
the
of
parallels
our children.
I was talking about.
We got to take care of our aging parents and everything. I did when they passed
who, in a way,
become children,
are being children again.
Yeah. Paul, very close to home. My brother's wife was diagnosed with cancer. She battled. She passed away about 2 years ago, but during the year and a half where it was really brutal, he asked me, "Hey, you work for the Ronald McDonald House. What about for people like me?"
I think there's another.
You know, he's commuting from Camarillo, and she's in Santa Monica and getting treatment. Really, the heart-wrenching question is, "Hey, hook me up with a place to stay because I want to be close to my wife as she's, you know, she's battling this." But really,
or your parents or something.
Most definitely. Right. I mean, I know the VA in Long Beach, and the name of the house skips me right now, but they create homes for the veterans and their families who have are in need of medical care.
Yeah, and there are organizations that help people like that, but not in this same exact capacity.
Not
and
yet
the need is right there.
Right.
You know, and with children, I think really a marketing hat on. It's easier in a way to sell it as a children's focused thing because you've got the hope, the future, the years ahead, what have you.
Right.
The misnomer is that when it comes to a senior. But again, anybody over the age of 45 is considered technically a senior,
right?
Societally, it's like, well, you're kind of on the way out.
It's not as heart-wrenching.
You know, it's not as heart-wrenching. And yet it's exactly the same.
It
impacts families. It puts strains on families. It divides people. I have a friend of mine who was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and that pretty much, you know, ended his marriage because it was an unmanageable amount of thing for his wife to basically deal with.
Absolutely.
I do want to, before I know we're getting close to the clock, to the end of the show, but I wanted to just also piggyback on Susan's thing about the high tea and fashion show and say, I'm putting the word out to all you guys out there, okay? I've already been fortunate enough to two people. One of them was a guest here, Tom Swim, who's an artist. It is donating a piece of his artwork to be auctioned off. We have silent auction and live auction, I think, for this fashion show. That's going to be in October. And a gentleman by the name of Greg Agamanukian, who's Men's Essentials, a client of mine, also is donating a big, huge guys shaving gear, grooming, all this stuff. You know, silent auction
some
item.
Cool stuff.
So I'm putting the word out to all you guys out there, or everybody out there that I know. Call me, donate. Give to this thing.
Okay?
Otherwise, I'm going to hunt you down. I'm going to call you. I'm going to bug you. You know how that is. It's never fun when I call.
So. Well, let's because Fred's been kind enough to call in here. We'll give you one of the last words, and then we'll talk about let the organization talk about how they can get. What would you like people to know about the Ronald McDonald House, Fred, other than that they exist and do great work?
Yeah, it's amazing how they've grown. And you know what? If you look at the houses now, all of them have to expand. Because they just run out of room and they have 100% occupancy and they have to take the overflow and put them in local hotels, which costs a lot of money. And so almost all of them are, I think the LA house has expanded a couple times. I told you about Stanford increasing and there's just such a huge need there. In fact, my wife was a school teacher. She taught kindergarten. And when we stayed in the Orange County house, one of her students was there. He was going through a bone marrow transplant. And those two moms, she was actually a mother helper in her class. And those two moms were there for that entire week of whether their kids are going to make it or not. And, you know, the support that you get there is just incredible. And I don't know how you'd make it otherwise. You'd be, like you said, sometimes it's just the wife there. The man has to work.
Yeah.
If she was staying in some hotel, she'd be all by herself. And then she'd be going out trying to get some fast food or something and worrying about her kids. Staying at the house there, like they said, people bring in food and make dinners, and they do that in a lot of the houses. So
just to feel like you're not alone and then take this burden off.
It's almost like neighbors.
Such an obvious. Like neighbors, yeah. That's what neighbors used to do a million years ago.
If you can just get the word out, and people like you guys are getting the word out right now, and that's how this thing has grown, and each event that we have gets bigger and bigger every year.
All right, so the folks here in the room, tell us how do people reach you? How do they get involved?
On the website, you have just tons of information. Orange County Ronald McDonald House.
Okay.
If you just Google that, you'd find us. And really to put a button on the intergenerational. Mm-hmm. So, and to your question, Paul, regarding, well, you know, what's the challenge? If you have a six-year-old, if a six-year-old can relate to the need to just say, wow, I understand. I wouldn't want to be without mom and dad if I'm sick.
Right.
And this is what I want to do. But the gamut is there. We have the Red Shoe Society. Again, all this stuff is on our website for young professionals looking to make a difference in addition to just giving, making an impact, socializing with others with the same desire. We have a Red Shoe Society. And then there's the Fred and Fran Hill Legacy Society. And I just saw Fred this past Saturday to recognize all those who put us in their estate planning. It runs the gamut.
Right.
It's no matter how old you are.
And do you need voluntary? We had somebody once on from a soup kitchen. They said, you know, we get so many people who really don't need volunteers. We need other things. Do you need volunteers?
We welcome volunteers because that is a great way for us to message the need. Mm-hmm. And it really comes to life for them. When they walk in that house, it's real. It's not an abstract thought of, wow, it's you guys must do good work. They see the families that we serve. And so it really is that makes an impression.
And just I'll give you my own little perspective here, and then we got to wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
I think too many charities just ask for money. And they all have compelling stories. But if it's just some abstract thing, after a while, you just feel kind of worn out. I don't know what happens to it. I don't know where it goes. Oh, here they do. They want some more money. To the extent that you can get people involved and see it and touch it and make it real, wow, that's
a
difference.
And we've said this before, and I'll just share this from my perspective. I've served on a number of boards, mm-hmm. in a whole different kind of types of nonprofits, and it always comes down to local support, mm-hmm. honestly, because I think you can have the large checks that come in and the big corporate support, but getting the word out, boots on the ground, mobilizing,
keeps it going, yeah.
filling
mm-hmm.
boxes, whatever it is, it really is that local. And if you're impacting locally and you have a vested community that supports you, then in those lean years when those corporate checks aren't happening, which wasn't that long ago,
yeah, mm-hmm.
okay, those smaller donations is what also sustains you, keeps your mission alive. So it spreads the word and creates
a community, mm-hmm. right? That's our whole thing, is to create communities through these radio shows, through these podcasts later, to right. build a community of people who are interested in something. So in this sense, we're trying to get a little broader sense, all the issues and challenges that people don't really want to face and talk about in their lives as they get older, mm-hmm. aging parents, sick kids, you know, a thousand other
tough conversations that
tough
people would rather not discuss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we actually get empowered by having a discussion about them.
I agree.
I just want to thank both of you guys, too, and Mr. Hill, if you're still on the phone. Friends of ours, my wife and I, Vincent and Claudia, they just were recent guests at your house with their son, Mateo. So, you know, this thing is not even 2 degrees of separation.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
For real. And I urge everybody to look into and get familiar with Ronald McDonald House and wherever you are, but, you know, locally here in Orange County. Susan, is there an actual website that people can go to?
Yes, it is rmhcsc.org. Ronald McDonald House Charities, Southern California.org.
Okay. All right, and they can find it at your events and all the other kind of. And is there anything, we'll give you one last chance to make an appeal. You need something right now, you wish somebody would donate a car or a toaster or a toilet paper? Or
buy your tickets to the fashion show.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
All right.
And toilet paper.
And toilet paper.
And bring some toilet paper with you.
And if anybody needs any more information on that, you guys, as always, you can always reach me at rod.gantus@gmail.com. Or, you know, I do this every time, and I promise myself I won't do it again, or I'm on my cell phone, 949-212-8299.
You're crazy.
Rod, I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity to share our story, share a little bit about our charity and the work that we do, and for your support outside of this. And so the radio show is one piece that we see you at, but we see you the majority of the other times helping us out. And, Paul, thank you again also for the invitation for us to share a little bit about our
charity. No problem. You guys are welcome. We'll invite you to come back, and thank you, Fred, for all the work you've done, and
thank you
for continuing to stay with us. Yeah.
Hey, well, thank you.
All right. Well, thanks so much. That's going to wrap it up for today here. You've been listening to the only show that really takes a look at this crazy life journey that Rod and others are, like myself, are going on here.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.